Hey Danny, how you doing, man?
Hello, it's all good. Man in the hood, man. Generic Breaking Bad lines, man.
Science, bitch.
Magnets.
Very good.
I'll do better next time. So, Lewis, episode 4 of season 5.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Yes. It was written by Gordon Smith.
It was indeed.
Yeah, I haven't just looked that up. And it was, it was also directed by Gordon Smith.
Good old Gordon Smith, eh?
And it is also starring Gordon Smith on his own. Triple Whammy. No, it's starring Bob Odenkirk, Jonathan Banks, Ray Seahorn, Giancarlo Esposito, Tony Dalton, Michael Mando, and Patrick Fabian.
Well, hey. Yes, I've got an opening statement, if you've got an opening statement.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Yet another installment of incredible drama. Every character's story is as amazing as each other, and I can't wait for more!
Yes.
This makes me feel like I'm addicted to Better Call Saul, like how people are addicted to drugs. This is a brilliant show.
It is a brilliant show. I've been trying to tell you this for years, Lewis, and you never listen. But okay.
No. It's because I instantly discredit all of your opinions.
Yeah.
That's the nature of it. Yeah.
not what I was expecting. I will always be biased of this show, but we have a season and a half left, and I think there is a lot to be seen before Breaking Bad. It's a great episode, but can we move it along, please?
We've had the luxury this week, because we did Parasite, was our main podcast.
Yes.
And obviously this is incredible drama. We've had the luxury of incredible film, incredible drama. Because I'm used to coming onto this show and complaining about Doctor Who. We need to pick a shit film. After the next one we do, we'll pick a shit film so that I can complain in the void.
We need to shout into the void. Oh, see what I did there.
Have you got any CRQs?
Yes, well, it's more of a statement.
Ooh, go on.
Jimmy rattles anything that's peaceful now. The bells at the beginning, it's like they're very tranquil, and he opens the door, and then when he leaves, they're still sort of shaking from the violent way he closes it. You know, it's a nice bit of symbolism.
It is a nice bit of symbolism, isn't it?
Is Kim slipping?
Slipping how? Into the world of Saul Goodman?
Yes.
I think she is. I think she wants to be Saul, but she also doesn't want to be Saul. I think that's sort of a great sort of conflict within her. She wants to have Saul's ability to do all these, like to go to that house and show that man a picture of a man having sex with a horse. And then somehow get a decline. That's what Kim wants, is to have that level of gift of the gab, as it were. That's what she wants. And
yeah.
I think she struggles with the fact she doesn't have that.
Do you think that's going to be how she gets her comeuppance in whatever form? I always thought that it was going to be she sees Jimmy become more into a sort of unemotional person, and then just sort of decides, no, I can't be with this person anymore, and then leaves. But she might, it might consume her, and she might end up dead as a result.
I think that might be what happens. You know, I think she's going to go down the Saul path. She'll become Saulette Goodman or something.
Slipping Kimmy,
yeah, that's what she'll do. And then, due to that, she'll be like interacting with Nacho or Lalo or something, and they'll kill her. Like in a very sudden shot in the head type way. I think that'll be the final thing that pushes Jimmy over the edge into Saul.
Yeah. I have another big question.
Go on.
Where the fuck is Mike by the end of the episode?
Yeah, I wrote that as well. Where the hell is... Because it looks like a monastery.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got. There was crosses everywhere. It looked like, to me, a Mexican monastery is what makes the most sense.
Yeah, because they've got their yellow tint going on, as they always do when it comes to Mexico. As if they're worlds apart, and it's just really hotter in Mexico than it is New Mexico. they always put a yellow tint on it. But if he's in Mexico, whoever this is who's got him has picked him up from Albuquerque and taken him all the way to Mexico to be healed. I don't know. I'm sure it'll pay off, because it always does. But at least it moves the plot along a little bit more. But Mike was sort of just spinning in his wheels in the mud last couple of episodes, and I think he's gonna. This is gonna be the how we see him join Gus's ranks, as it were.
It won't be Gus. Gus doesn't get his hands dirty. But a team of Gus's men might come and save him from a Mexican cartel or something. I have no idea how Mike will get back to being so loyal to Gus.
It might be the doctor from Breaking Bad that saved Gus's life.
That's a good point, yeah.
Could be him. Yeah.
I would like to see how that turned out. If his original, his backstory is he lost his medical license because he put a baboon liver in a human or something, and thereafter Gus was like, "Well, it actually looks like you're a pretty good doctor. You've just got a baboon fetish."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, yeah, that's pretty true." And he says, "Right, well, I'll pay you $1 million an hour to save my life in any situation to just be on retainer and on call 24/7 sort of thing."
Fuck's sake. Yeah, that's his backstory. That's how it all shaked out. Isn't it interesting how Howard is offering Jimmy a job?
Yes, it is interesting. I don't like Howard because he's a smarmy lawyer. I think it's this weird thing when you start to think about it, of like this sort of, that's a thing ingrained in me in a weird way by watching Suits and thinking, yeah, well, I don't really like all these lawyer blokes. I don't really like them very much. But of course, in reality, Howard is just sort of a bloke. But it's this thing as well, watching Better Call Saul, I'm thinking, yeah, well, all these rich lawyers, I don't like them.
I mean, Jimmy is basically like the Kim family in Parasite.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
just to a more heightened and desperate degree. Just he's willing to do anything, and Howard is just incredibly wealthy and just has it all going for him. So it's it's hard to sort of when he smashes the bowling balls off of his car. It's I don't feel bad for Howard at all. It's it's just that anti-establishment thing that you were talking about in Parasite. It's just instinctively you have to go with the underdog. It's and it's his intentions are, to make himself better, but at what cost, Lewis?
At what cost? I have a question.
Go on.
What do we think about Fring making Lyle clean that deep fryer so fucking much?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't make him, to be fair.
That's true.
He used sort of psychological manipulation. He was you can go home now. And Lyle, because he's such a good egg, was no, I want to get this right for you. I think Gus knows that and was just if you want to take another crack at it, you can go ahead.
He has this mastery over people with such little effort, both in the meth world and the chicken world.
And then it was just, it is acceptable. I'd be raging. I'd be what do you mean it's fucking acceptable? I'm sweating my arse off trying to get this right, and it's I wouldn't like to work for Gus.
And then Lyle leaves, and Gus just slightly tweaks the handle of a fryer basket, and then you can see him. You can physically see him sort of exhale, and his shoulders drop down again, and you can see him stand a little bit taller. He's like, yes, all is right with the world.
Yes.
My money drug pickup things, that is fine, and also my deep fat fryer is perfectly aligned.
Peter Gould, who's one of the creators of the show, has said that we won't see Hank or Gomez again in this season.
That's a shame. I do quite like him.
Yeah, and it does make sense. It does. They can't be there the entire time, because it would just call into the canon into question. Because they sort of get away with it when Saul Goodman first meets Hank in Breaking Bad. If you're just watching Breaking Bad from that point of view, it does seem as if they don't know each other.
Yeah.
But it's in a way that you could probably say, well, yeah, they probably will know each other. Your commercials, they suck ass. That's what he says, and he's like, DEA, huh? Now, what would two feds want with that little twerp? So it's like, on the surface, it sounds as if he said, "Oh, you're with the DEA, are you?" But now that you watch Better Call Saul, it still fits because it's just him saying, "Oh, the DEA is here. Huh? What do you two want?"
Mm.
So it fits. It still fits.
Yeah, yeah.
It fits. It fits, okay?
It fits. It's okay, everybody. It fits.
Yeah, there's still some stuff, though, that hasn't happened yet. It's like Saul says that, you know, the burglars, he says that he's been running their legal stuff for like 5 years.
Sure.
And it's like 2004 at this point in the story.
Okay.
And Breaking Bad starts 2009, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, when are they showing up? Where are they? Get them in it. Hurry up. And how many ex-wives has Saul had? I don't know. It's like there's some things that just sort of... You could probably suspend your disbelief a little bit and be like, oh, yeah, he's just saying that for the sake of the situation that he's in.
Mm. But you don't want to. Because you hold Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul to a very high standard. You kind of don't want to suspend your disbelief and go, oh, well, you know, Saul just sort of said that.
Yeah, it's like Gus with the deep fat fryer. It's like it has to be perfect.
It made me think of The Fly, that episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's my favourite episode.
Yeah, right? Right?
It's so hated. It's like, it's ridiculous how hated it is. It's like, oh, nothing happens. It's like, well... But a lot happens, like, in character-wise. It's like the perfect, you know, build-up of character for these two people. And it's like an entire episode set. It's essentially a bottle episode. It's just because the budget was stretched a wee bit and they had to put it in one place. But it's still, I think, the best episode of the show.
Definitely, yeah. That's really one of my favourites. I was surprised that Fring was happy to lose $700,000.
Yeah.
I mean, surprised that that's an acceptable operational loss. Because we have to assume that he's got some kind of intense plan going on and he's going to use that money to frame Lalo or something. But I'm surprised that he didn't even try to get any of it, really.
I know, but I think it's the case of letting your opponent think that that they're winning, almost, maybe,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
sort of strategy. And Nacho said if the money's not there, then Lalo will know that Gus is on to him. So it's like, you'd probably want to keep him in the dark and pretend that, oh, I don't know what's going on.
Mm.
Oh, it's so interesting. I can't wait to see what happens. I really can't.
Me neither.
It's going to be mental.
I really loved the... I really loved Saul going into the desert or whatever it was to the guy that's on the Mesa Verde lot and talking to him and getting him to agree to be his client. And I could watch Saul do that all day. I could watch the patter all day.
Definitely.
I do not get tired of it. It's so good.
What do you see, sir? What do you see? A man fucking a horse.
Oh god.
How did you get him on board? Visual aids. That's so clever. That's so
it is.
Good.
It's ridiculous. I have a question.
Go on.
Was the extreme cleaning of the deep fat fryer a representation of Fring's nervousness about the drug card, the DEA closing in?
I would say so.
Yeah.
So you're cleaning something very, very hot. And very, very dangerous, and like you could burn yourself at any moment, and you're sweating as you put some elbow grease into it, but it's like he manages to get it to pay it off. And I have never seen a deep fat fryer being cleaned in such a tense fashion.
Yeah.
It's the only Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad could ever make me shit myself at the sight of a deep fat fryer being cleaned. It's like, God, this show is amazing. Jesus. What were you expecting with the bowling balls?
I had no idea. I actually wrote down in my notes somewhere, $30 for a bowling ball. That seems expensive. But for me, it was just something extraneous. Like, is Saul going to... Jimmy going to reveal he has a passion for bowling or something?
Yeah.
I didn't even think it was going to be anything. I don't know what I was expecting. It was really good, though.
The problem with this episode is that it's a good episode, but it's like it has just sort of been solidifying character stuff. And like, in terms of plot, not a lot happened. It's like I imagine that what's going to happen is Kim and Jimmy are going to be quotations against each other in this case. And I originally, when I saw the episode names and episode 6 is called Wexler v. Goodman, I thought that Kim is finally going to take Saul to court and that's how it's going to break down. But now it looks as if they're going to be working together. And maybe that will, I don't know, spiral Kim into this disastrous, you know, Saul-esque tornado, and she might end up dead. But it's like, yes, we get it, we understand what the characters are thinking. It's like, you've got a season and a half before Breaking Bad. It's like, come on, what are you doing? And you've still got Gene to tell as well. What's happening with Gene? It's like there's so much to see, and it's like you need to move it along now. We understand. We know what's going on.
I actually thought he was going to bludgeon someone to death with the bowling ball.
Really?
When he was looking through, it was looking. Well, I think the first thing he picked up was like a trophy.
Yeah.
Like I thought, well, that's about the right size and shape. In theory, they could bludgeon someone with it. But then I was thinking, well, no, that's not very Jimmy. He could do it, but it's not very Jimmy, really.
No.
I really liked the bit where they went down to the car park in front of their flats, and Kim cleaned up the broken glass, and Jimmy was like, no, I'll just pay someone else to do it.
Yeah.
That's what I pay rent for, right?
That's their characters like, embodied. It's like Jimmy makes a mess and Kim cleans it up.
Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of that bit from The Social Network where Mark Zuckerberg gets himself a beer and Eduardo Severin gets two beers, one for him and one for Mark.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of that. Yeah.
Oh, visual storytelling. My favourite.
I have a question.
Go on.
I only really thought of it in this episode when the druggies didn't have any cash to pay him with.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that just sort of the whole point? Like, druggies are never going to have any cash because they want to buy drugs, so they're not going to have enough cash to pay Saul's legal fees, right?
Yeah, but
why is that not a problem he runs into every day?
Well, they've got relatives that care about them.
I suppose so. Yeah, I suppose he is sort of just fucking over their grandma to pay the legal bills, sort of thing.
I'd imagine if they didn't have the money, he'd probably just go, oh, well, screw you then, I'll find someone else. Because it's like, I imagine there's a lot of criminals that need representation.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So, yeah. God, it's like, there's not a lot to, I think I'm actually out of notes.
I have one more.
Go on.
I was impressed by how normal law people have no idea how to deal with Jimmy, how to talk to him, how to deal with what he does in court. They have no idea. Like that bit right at the start in court, and he says, is that the guy that robbed your store? And he says, yes, 100% that's the guy. So actually, no, it isn't. It's the guy at the back of the oh, God.
And even the judge is like, oh, Mr. Goodman. As if to say, who else but Jimmy?
They have no idea how to deal with him.
No.
I just think that he's something so new and just turning their world upside down in a way. It really amazes me in a funny way.
It really is. So it's going to go nuclear, son. It's going to go nuclear very soon, I think.
Okay, here's the big question that we ask every single episode.
Go on.
What could Fring's plan possibly be in the ongoing game of chess against Lalo? Do we have any more information that helps us put together the plan? What do we think?
Well, Gus can't really kill Lalo yet, because that would arouse suspicion from the rest of the cartel. So I'm going to stick with my theory that Gus is going to try and make Lalo seem reckless or frame him for something so that he's sort of pulled back across the border or something like that. Or maybe he'll get Nacho to do him in, or I don't know. But I know that Lalo is going to keep trying to get Gus's money. We know that he'll try that again. But it's anyone's guess. What about you? What do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. We know he's going to try and force Lalo south of the border, but I have no... My original theory was he's going to try and discredit Lalo in some way.
Yeah.
But all he's done in this one situation is discredit himself. I don't see what's coming next. I don't understand.
No, but I'm sure we will.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
If that's it, that's... I know that is kind of it. I've got lots of things like, I love the phone breaking, like when Gus hangs up and then immediately snaps the phone in two. Things like that I love. But like,
it'd be fucked if it was a Nokia.
Or even if it was just an iPhone. Can you imagine trying to snap an iPhone in half like that?
Well, yeah, it's 2004, so you don't get many iPhones.
Well, yeah. That'd be quite funny, wouldn't it, in a couple of series time, if like Hank comes down and he's like, hey, Gomi, guess what I bought? So I got the original iPhone.
I got this iPhone. God.
I do like the Gomez and Hank buddy cop show aspect of it.
Yeah.
But on the same level, Hank is like an interesting representation of like almost toxic masculinity to some degree. Like everything he says is a dig at Gomez. Everything he says is, I'm better than everybody else. I'm a man. I'm a man's man. Ugh. Do you know what I mean? It's interesting. I'm fascinated by him as a character.
It's because in Breaking Bad, he just sort of grows... and becomes, you know, but it's like it into a more rounded person. But it's funny to watch someone who's just so... He's clearly very good at his job, but he's just very arrogant and just like, ha ha, I'm a man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that horrible, gutsy laugh.
And I remain fascinated and impressed by Hank's leadership skills.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the mission, when he says, "Congratulations, guys! We got $700,000. That's just shy of a cool mill." And just to say, "Well done! We're all going to such and such bar on me, on that, on." Do you know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic leader.
It's hard not to sort of go hell yeah when he says stuff like that. It's like, oh right, we're going to a bar. Oh.
We're going to a bar. I can't wait to go there. Stewie is, of course, a member of the DEA at this point.
Oh my goodness, we're going to a bar, Brian.
Hank, are we going to a bar? Anyway, that might be the end of my notes as well, which is terrifying. But yeah.
I mean, it's, we can't really help it. It's like we know what's, this episode's very clear cut. It's like, you know, give me something. Give me some ants on an ice cream again. That was shot. That was amazing.
It was an amazing shot. I think the comparison for this episode is Saul. Sorry, the car chase happening while that kid is cleaning the deep fat fryer.
Yeah,
I could watch that all day. It was really gripping and exhilarating in a way.
Definitely. Well,
that's it. Crikey! Yeah, that's
fucking hell, Jesus.
Is it shill o'clock then? Or have we got closing statements?
Yeah, we've got closing... I'll fire out my closing statement.
Close that statement.
Right, we've had our character moments. Now it's time for the plot to get moving faster. We have a season and a half left, as I keep saying. Please, 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 move it along now, son.
Yes, I agree. I think we might end up in a situation where it just gets quicker and quicker and quicker. Like, you know when you drop a penny in those charity buckets where it just slowly spins around the outside, then it gets right into the middle and just is going really quickly and drops down. That might be what we're building to, is slow, 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 quick, 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 and I think we're just going to have a very quick few episodes.
Definitely.
I really love this show. Brilliant characters and beautiful work. Excited to see what comes next for Fring, and Mike, and Saul, and Kim, and Mesa Verde. I'm so invested in this show, and I've seen like 3 episodes of it. I am super invested.
As am I. Well, let's shill, Lewis.
Let's shill me.
Okay, I'm on Instagram at O'Hiram. I'm on Facebook at Daniel Kerr. I'm on Twitter at Kevzlo2000. What are you on, Lewis?
I am on Instagram at Lewis_Brindley, Twitter at LewisBrindley4, and I have a Facebook page which is called Lewis Brindley. I've never figured out the right way to say that. It just feels like a weird thing to say.
That's it. We're hosted by Podomatic.
We are?
We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Deezer, we have a YouTube channel, we have a PayPal donate button, we're on Patreon. Give us your dosh, give us your cash, make us rich. Boom!
Bim!
Bim!
Yeah.
Oh, crikey. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. We'll be back next week with Better Call Saul, Series 5, Episode 5.
Oh.
Do we know what that one's called yet? Do we know?
Dedicado a Max, I think it's called.
Dedicado a Max. Okay.
Yes. But I'll get it right if it's wrong next week.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.